Welcome to the Evolving Accountant Podcast. We all know that some accountants can be boring, but definitely not this one. Why talk trial balances and P&L when we can get ripped jeans into the boardroom and hear business insights from people who have really walked the talk? Get ready. Here comes an all-new episode with your host, Darren Wingfield.
Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of the Evolving Accountant Podcast, powered by Harlan's Accountants. Delighted today to be joined by Matthew Walker, co-founder of Savora Drinks. Firstly, Matthew, welcome to the show. And for our listeners out there, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and the drive to get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, thank you, Darren. Really good to be here. So I'm Matthew, and I'm the co-founder of Savora Drinks. Officially, we are the UK's best mixer, and we are the only company that makes mixers specifically for tequila. So that's kind of a little bit about me, and I'm sure we'll get into that more as we go along. You might notice a somewhat familiar accent. I'm actually from Middlesbrough, so it's not far away from yourself, but I live in Edinburgh now, and that's where the business is based. What gets me out of the bed in the morning is really the customer experience. So seeing people enjoy Savora firsthand really makes me passionate about what I do, whether that's in a bar, seeing them drink our product, at a market stall, selling it to them and having them try it for the first time. That's what really makes me passionate and keeps me going every day.
Cool. So I always ask these questions because we always were a bunch of nosy gets and we always want to find out more about who I'm talking to. So what's your career? What's your journey been like today? You fit perfectly as well into the title of the podcast. Let's go through that journey, if we can, back from the early days.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm 25, so I still say I'm at the very start of my journey, really. But if I was to sum up my journey so far in five words, it would be chartered accountant turned tequila aficionado, which maybe doesn't sound very straight line, but to me, that was a very straightforward route. I'd always had a passion for business from a young age, whether that was going to the local car boot sale or teaching myself A-level business studies. It was really always a passion for me. But if I take you back to the accounting, I guess that's kind of all where it started. Studied kind of maths, economics, law at college, but always had an interest in getting involved in accounting. Got offered a place with a Big Four accounting firm to do their degree scheme. So basically, they sponsored me through university. Did 3 years at university, and as long as I got a 2.1, I was always going to join them as a graduate. So it kind of really took the pressure off a little bit at university. I knew that that job was always going to be there, and that gave me a little bit more time to play around with the different business ideas. I think getting into business was always inevitable for me at some point. Not necessarily the business that I'm in, but this was the one that really stuck and the one that we've gone ahead with.
Okay. So the biggest question is, why would you ever want to leave an accountancy firm? Surely it's the best place ever to be.
That's a very good point, Darren. And luckily for me, I haven't had to leave. So at the moment, I'm actually juggling the two. So I'm still working as an accountant and also doing the business. I'm lucky enough to have great teams surrounding me in both places, and that really keeps both going.
Bit of a random one that's probably going to be linked to you becoming a tequila aficionado. We can probably guess it's going to be called that, the podcast title already, can't we? Let's talk about a moment in time that's made you change to what you do. What was that pivot? What was that, in the words of Brad Burton, the what now moment?
I guess I'd really go with two moments that really guide my career to where it is today. If I'd say the first one, it was at the car boot sale, which was kind of my first harsh business lesson, really. I was gloating to my dad. We always went along to the car boot sale together, me and my dad, kind of clearing out our wardrobes. And I was gloating about selling a game for £5. I walked to another stall 10 minutes later and see that same game sell for £10. So it was a very harsh lesson for me in getting my pricing right. And ever since that day, it stuck with me, and sales and business has always been of interest. But what really got me into the business today is me and my friends at university, we regularly pitch business ideas to each other. And I actually have a list of notes in my phone, which we could go through at some point, with all the ideas that I suggested to them and didn't make it. There was always a reason not to start them. And whether it was fueled by tequila or a genuine belief in the idea, Savora was the first one where they actually said, you know what, that could work. And that was enough for me to grip onto. And we got to work in the kitchen, trying different flavors. 18 months later, we had something we thought worked, and we went ahead and launched it.
I'm going to ask you to get your phone now, and I'm going to pick the third one from the list. And let's just see what comes up. This hasn't been rehearsed or anything, by the way. This is, no, we're going off the cuff.
This isn't planned. Okay. Okay. So the third one on the list is, it's a wardrobe app. So basically, when you buy clothes, it really annoys me. You put it in the wardrobe and you kind of forget it's there. So what about if you had an app where every time you buy something, you scan the barcode, you then put it into your wardrobe, and you've basically got a virtual wardrobe in the app. You can dress your avatar with your own clothes, see if the outfit's going to work before you even try it on. I don't have a working title for that one. I'm actually going to give you the first one in the list as well, because that was probably my favorite one that didn't make it. I still love somebody to do this idea, because it's a real problem that I find I face every week. But do you ever find you spend ages looking for a movie to watch? You know, you go through Netflix, you go through Amazon, and you can never find a movie. What about an app, basically like Tinder, but for movies? So you swipe left, swipe right, and based on that, we recommend movies to you. It would be called Movie Matchmaker. And once you've watched the movie, you can say whether you liked it or didn't like it. And based on that, we kind of improve our algorithm. And Movie Matchmaker, hopefully coming soon.
Okay. there is a Tinder for baby names now, though, isn't there?
Is there really?
Where both of you, like, pair up, where it's, and you'll just start randomly selecting names, and then you'll get a list generated of names that you both like.
Is this something that you used, is it, Darren?
No, I have. It wasn't around when my daughter was born, but that would definitely have been there.
It's easier.
When we told one of the grandparents our daughter's name, they did not like it, and it's stuck.
You could have had the whole family on Tinder swiping away, and then you'd have got something that worked. Hey, good idea.
So, in fairness, the wardrobe one, I think, has some leverage, because I believe I was having a conversation with someone or in the office the other week, and that in your fridges now have Wi-Fi and cameras where you scan it, and it knows what products and when the best before ends are.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So we're halfway there. It already, technology exists.
Yeah.
We just need to tweak it.
Yeah, very good. Well, hopefully somebody that's listening can take it on, because, I'm an ideas man, really. I'd love to just see these things happen. And there was a reason I didn't start them, and it was because I didn't have the skills. I didn't know how to make an app. So, yeah, if somebody has those skills out there, then I'd love to see it come to life.
Perfect. Let's talk about the brand. Let's talk about why we're here. So, in your words, can you talk more about what Savora does and, like, where it came from? Let's go into its story, its journey a bit.
Yeah, quite right, Dan. Let's talk about the business I actually did start. So Savora was born out of the idea that every spirit has a mixer. You've got gin and tonic, you've got rum and cork. But for years, tequila's been written off as just a shot. But times are changing. Tequila sales in the USA are close to overtaking vodka and becoming the most popular spirit in the country. And over here in the UK, you know, it's really popular in the cocktail market. Your margaritas, your tequila sunrise, your Paloma. So I was just questioning, why isn't there a mixer for tequila? Offers those really simple premium serves. And we just couldn't find anything on the market. So we went about trying different flavors, juicing limes, juicing lemons, smashing up some strawberries, putting some mint in there. Eventually, we landed on something that we thought worked really well, and we launched it to market in April 2021. We've now got two mixers. We've got our lime and agave, which was the first one. That's just won Scotland's best soft drink. And we've got our orange and ginger mixer, just launched in January this year. And as of last week, was announced as the UK's best mixer.
How did it win Scotland's best soft drink against Iron Brew?
Well, exactly. That's quite the claim to fame, isn't it? We've won best soft drink in a country where it's dominated by one soft drink. So one we're very proud of, and we're not challenging the decision.
Fair enough. So are you naturally a tequila drinker?
What I would say is I like premium spirit mixer pairings. I'm not a shotter. And I think what my issue was that tequila was seen as just a shot. So no, I wouldn't necessarily say that tequila is my spirit. What I like is a good spirit with a good mixer. And for some reason, that didn't exist for tequila. And I felt that it needed to.
Okay. I was trying to understand, like, what did you do beforehand? Because normally it's your vodka Red Bulls and stuff like that. Like you mentioned, G&T.
Yeah.
It is a cocktail shot that goes with it, and like you've gone into. So obviously I appreciate you're very early on in your journey of the food and drink or FMCG marketplace. So I'm going to reframe a question I would normally ask. And what I'm keen to understand is how you plan on going down this route. So the question I would normally ask is, what's the most important personality trait, strength someone would need to work in the industry or to be a success in your job? I'm going to tweak that to say, what are you positioning, or what are your strengths are you working on to sort of become that disruptor in the marketplace? I think it'd be harsh for me to ask you your opinion and say, in the so many months that you've been in it. But as an entrepreneur, what sort of things or research did you do to say, I need that?
Yeah, you're quite right, Darren. I'm still very much on that journey. And I guess my kind of thing would really link into that. And it's that you have a willingness to continually learn and put yourself outside your comfort zone. I came into this as a chartered accountant and I didn't really know anything about tequila, but look at where we've got to. We've got the UK's best mixer and Scotland's best soft drink. Like, that's an incredible achievement in our 18 months. So my big thing is failing every single day. I fail repeatedly, and that is the only way I will get anywhere near to succeeding. I'm continually adapting to new situations, be that trying to get involved with sales, getting involved with marketing, learning new things every single day is why I will get to hopefully where we want to be. There was a book that I read called Go for No. And basically the idea of the book was reframing your vision from no's being bad things to no's being good things. So when you get told no, you almost feel like a bit defeated and a bit deflated. But what about seeing no as a step towards yes? So if somebody says no to you, you can understand why are they saying no. That gets you closer to getting a yes from them or from somebody else. Equally, when I go out pitching to bars, I know that 1 in 10 bars will say yes on average. So if I'm getting 2 or 3 no's, I've only got to get 6 more no's and then I've got my yes. So if I start seeing those no's as positives and steps in the right direction, that really helps me to get to the point where we are successful.
So there is no defining that you're an entrepreneur. We've got the wardrobe app, we've got the film, what was it?
Yeah, Movie Matchmaker.
Movie Matchmaker, sorry. You are juggling 2 jobs at the minute. I appreciate you've got a team behind it, both of businesses there. What's your favorite productivity hack? How does Matthew become the best Matthew each day?
I'm really glad you actually mentioned the team, because my favorite productivity hack is to invest my time in my team. Now, say I'm working, well, we've got a team of 6 at Savora at the moment. So say I'm working an 11-hour day, 5 hours myself and 6 hours with them. They can then go on and invest 7 hours each themselves. So we're almost getting extra 50 hours approximately of work by me investing that 1 hour into them. Now, it's so easy when you've got a massive to-do list to just go on to Do Not Disturb, get yourself in a corner and start working your way through your list. Well, that is so damaging to the rest of the team and them getting on with their goals and the wider team goals. So my kind of productivity hack is don't invest time in my own projects so much, but invest time in their projects. Make sure that they're on the right tracks, because 6 people are going to do more than 1 person can ever do. So if I'm working hard to make sure that they're doing the right thing and they're on track, then that can pay exponential dividends in the long run. The upfront investment in that training, I think, is the best thing that I could ever do.
That becomes down to becoming a good leader. I'm going to put this bluntly as my opinion. You're 25.
Yep.
How have you getting your team to buy into your vision, buy into your mission, and live on the words that you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's a very different thing between being a leader and being a boss. And being a leader, you're kind of in the journey with them. So I make sure that they know everything they're doing is having the impact and the impact that it's having. We're all in this together. We're all learning every single day. A lot of my team are kind of graduates fresh out of university. To be honest, I was fresh out of university 2 years ago. So we are all learning together. And I think that it feels like a community and that we're all in it together. That really motivates them to keep going. If it was me just saying, do this, do that, I think you're right. It would come across as, you're 25, why are you telling me what to do? But that's not the mentality that we have. It's a, okay, here's a challenge. Let's all jump on this together to find the best solution and let's just go with it. I'm there as a decision maker and I'll put my neck on the line. You know, if things go wrong, it falls on my head. But if things go well, that's my team's work and my team get recognized for that. And I think, you know, the fact that we all feel like we're in this journey together, that really helps us to succeed.
So community powered by tequila.
A community powered by tequila, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Just give them a couple of shots in the morning and they're raring to go.
Another question I would normally ask is around software or indispensable tools. We've had a bit of a delve into Matthew's notes. Is there anything else that you do or that you're working, I appreciate you saying, invest your time in your team's projects to keep them moving? Obviously, when you're spinning 2 roles, how the communication around that, is it like Trello, Slack, anything? How are you managing being two Matthews?
Yeah, quite right. So on the communication side, it is Slack. We use it every day. It's really useful. The basic version is free, so I would kind of recommend it to anyone. But as this is the Evolving Accountant podcast, I'm actually going to go down the accounting route more so. I'm not sponsored by them, but I really should be the amount I speak about them. And it's called Free Agent. And basically, it's free accounting software. If you've got a Metal Bank account or I think RBS or a couple of others, you get access to this free accounting software. It does your VAT returns. It does your journals for you. Really, really simple. When I started this business journey, I had a really complex Excel spreadsheet that I'd basically set up to do my journals for me. And it was great. It worked really well. But you kind of got to quarter end and you had to do your VAT return and there was pivot tables all over the place. And it was a bit of a nightmare. So with Making Tax Digital coming in, we've actually moved over to Free Agent. And it is saving me so much time in terms of I do my journals kind of every day. And then my VAT return is just ready to go at the click of the button at the end of the month. Review it, sign it off, done. Everything is so much simpler. So my only regret with Free Agent was not getting it sooner, genuinely. The fact that it's free, I can't recommend it highly enough. So if you don't have a bank account with one of those banks, just get one and go ahead and get Free Agent. As long as you've got basic accounting skills, you'll be raring to go.
Other accountancy softwares are available.
Yeah, disclaimer, they are. You might have to pay for them though.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We don't have money at the moment.
No. In fairness, this podcast is all about learning from others, and you're going to audit the hell out of this business on everything that you do, being an accountant and being that technically minded.
Yep.
I get that. I will be the same one.
Yeah, it's literally every single penny gets kind of gone over in so much detail. And at the start of your business journey, you just don't have that money to be wasting. Myself and my co-founder, we put kind of a couple of £1,000 each into this to get it to where it is today. We're going up against businesses who have millions of pounds to invest. So no wonder they can invest in more complex things. If there wasn't free accounting software, I'd still be going with my spreadsheet because I'm damn stubborn that I won't be paying for things that I think I can do for free.
The amount of financial data held on free Excel documents.
Yes.
So what's the one thing in your business journey so far or the venture that became a success that you didn't expect it to be? I appreciate we've mentioned the awards and stuff like that. Is there anything else sort of there that you've already said, like around 1 in 10 pubs, they'll say yes and it's becoming a door knocker potentially and things like that? Obviously, 18 months can be a long time in business, especially in a startup world and in an FMCG world that changes. Well, there's probably something happened while we've been doing this recording, if we're being honest. What sort of jumps out at you?
For me, it was going to be the awards. I think it's really proud that we're kind of rubbing shoulders with these companies that have multi-million pound valuations and we've got them won. Like, that is incredible to me. And getting that external validation is really cherry on the cake. But I'll actually go down a different route. If I take one of our first stockists here in Edinburgh, it's a small kind of pub down by the water of Leith. We kind of went into the bar and they said to us, "Oh, we don't sell a lot of tequila. We sell one bottle of tequila a month. It's probably not something that's going to work, but we'll try it out." And what we did with this bar was we designed custom coasters. So they had like Savora branded beer mats. We had chalkboards. We had a menu. So they had like a cocktail menu with tequila and Savora listed on it. And the effect of listing in that venue and having all this marketing behind it was in the first 3 months, they sold 12 bottles of tequila per month. Tequila and Savora was their best-selling cocktail. So a bar that used to sell one bottle of tequila is now selling 12 bottles of tequila a month, all because we invest in the marketing and we kind of showed what we could do at this in this pub. If we can do that at other similar venues across the country, the impact here is going to be insane. I think tequila is often so harshly written off as just a shot, but that's because people haven't experienced it in other ways. And we opened up that experience to this one bar in Scotland. There's no reason that we can't do that with other bars. And that gives me some real excitement about the future.
You mentioned before around it being obviously one, was it in the US that was approaching the sales of vodka and stuff like that?
Yeah.
What sort of stats are we at for the UK? Where does it fit on that list? We've probably referenced it a couple of times being a shot drink or
yeah.
You're down the quayside and you're trying to get hammered at the end of the night. But in the eyes of stats, because we're accountants, where we're sitting at?
So at the moment, we're at about 1% of spirits consumed. So very low on the scale. But the good thing is it's rapidly growing. So we had 106% growth in the on-trade in 2021, which is an insane statistic for one spirit to double in a year. That is unheard of. So tequila is really growing here. The main reason for that is in the US, they've had premium tequila for years. Tequila is made in Mexico, if you didn't know. So getting good quality tequila into the US was very easy. In the UK, we have had cheap tequila for years. So people have thought it's just a shot because they were having cheap tequila. The cheap tequila is 51% agave and 49% other. Now, it's that other that's kind of coloring, sugars, additives, a recipe for a hangover. If you get a 100% agave premium tequila, the experience is totally different. Now we're seeing that 100% agave tequila coming into the UK market. People are having these more premium tequila experiences and perceptions are definitely changing.
Bit of a random question. We've had the gin boom. Mm-hmm. We've had, what was it last year? The rum.
Yep.
Everyone all of a sudden became rum connoisseurs. Mm-hmm. Is tequila getting its day soon?
Yes. 100% tequila is the next big spirit. I genuinely have no doubt about that. And it is because of this whole, everything coming together at once in terms of, yes, people are looking for the next big spirit. Tequila's starting to come into the market at the right time. You've got these big players investing in the market. You've got celebrity tequila brands. Everyone loves a Kendall Jenner or a George Clooney or the Dwayne The Rock Johnson. All of these people coming into the market at the same time. It makes it such an appealing place to be in. And once people try 100% agave tequila, either in a cocktail or with a mixer, and they have that experience, it's totally different to what they used to with tequila. And that's why I think that their perceptions will change.
Okay. So what's around the corner for Savora?
So the last few months have been immense. Obviously, we've had the two awards with the two mixes we have so far. So we can't really go much better with those two. They're kind of in the right place now. So all about what's next for us is extending the range. So we're launching two new mixes early in the new year. We've got watermelon and jalapeno, which is kind of your sweet and spicy combined. And we've got your lemon and mint. So obviously, a mojito is a big rum cocktail. If we basically turn that into a tequila cocktail with our lemon and mint mixer. So those two mixers will be coming in the new year. And we're also pursuing a substantial equity raise, well, our first equity raise, really. We've had some great wins over these past months with the awards. We're getting some really good opportunities coming out off the back of that. And therefore, we need the equity in order to pursue those opportunities.
So is that in progress now or is that for 2023?
Yeah, so the documents are kind of ready to go, kind of giving them a once-over with our board of directors, and then they'll be going out probably in the next couple of weeks. So possibly by the time this podcast launches, you'll be able to get a slice of the pie if you're interested.
So is that private or you're doing crowd?
So we're planning to do angel investors, to be honest. The main reason is I've came into this industry not having a massive network. And I feel like with crowdfunders, you almost need to have it 80% funded already before you even launch. We're not at that stage. We don't have the network. I'm early in my career. I'm new to the food and drink industry. So that's why we're going down the more angel route and pursuing that in the first instance.
Okay, perfect. So time for some reflection. Last couple of questions from myself. What do you wish you'd known when you'd started out? And I'm going to position that of 18 months ago when you started the brand.
I think you don't know what you don't know. And there's only really one way to learn, and that's by doing. You can read books, you can watch videos, you can listen to podcasts and try and learn from others' journeys. And that's great. And it does give you the baseline knowledge, but you can only really learn by doing. Most people's first businesses fail. And I think the main reason for that is because you can only learn by doing yourself. So if you've got a half decent idea and you think what you've got what it takes to get it off the ground, I would say just go for it. You'll learn a hell of a lot. In the words of Ronan Keating, life is a roller coaster. You just got to ride it. And business is definitely a roller coaster. So yeah, I would say if I knew 18 months ago, I would have just said to myself, just do it, just go for it. And it'll be a journey and we'll see what happens.
Okay. How do you learn? Let's say 18 months ago when you were making that big step, who did you take your advice from?
Yeah, so after just slating books and podcasts and videos, I will say I do really enjoy learning from them. Like, you can only learn by doing, but it still gives you that baseline knowledge. And I'm lucky to say that my passion is business. So I love business books, I love business TV shows, and I love business podcasts. So I really surround myself with all things business. And my time off is watching a business TV show, which is brilliant, really. If I was to pick kind of one from each, I'd say a most recent book that I read that I enjoyed was Shoe Dog, which is by Phil Knight, founder of Nike. spoiler, he's from an accounting background, so it was always going to be a winner for me. The last TV show I really enjoyed was We Crashed. That was about the journey of WeWork from all the way up to their IPO, how they kind of boomed and then eventually busted. And in terms of podcasts, obviously it's The Evolving Accountant, but if I had to pick another one, I really enjoy Secret Leaders by Dan Murray Serta. He's got a mini series as part of that, which is all about celebrating your failures. So we definitely recommend checking that out. They're quite short, 10, 15 minute episodes. So they're kind of three things that I've been learning from recently.
Cool. And last one before I let you go back to smashing a spreadsheet. How do people find you? What's the best to get more information on Savora, more information about yourself, and ultimately how to get a hold of it?
Yeah, so the best place for me personally is LinkedIn. So if you just search Matthew Walker or Matthew Walker Savora Drinks, I should come up. For Savora, the best place would be Instagram. So that is at savora.drinks. That's savora.drinks. Or I know our head of marketing would kill me if I didn't shout out TikTok, which is under the same name. I don't have a clue what's on TikTok. You might find me doing a kind of day in the life on there, very cringe. But they're probably the best two places to find Savora.
And for buying the product?
Buying the product. So we're available online on our own website. We've got around 35 bars now across the country, close to securing a multi-venue operator, which would potentially bring another 400 venues into the group. So that would be a brilliant one. But very much Scotland focused on the bars at the moment. So if you're not based in Scotland, online's your best bet. And yeah, please drop me a message with what you think. I always love to hear customer feedback firsthand.
Cool. Just to say thank you for your time. Thank you for reaching out to myself as well to come on the show. And good luck with the journey.
Thank you, Darren. Really appreciate being part of it.
Thanks for listening to The Evolving Accountant. You can find out more and get show notes for this and all our other episodes at theevolvingaccountant.co.uk.